Episode 3. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner and will be your host today. My daughter asked me once how computers go from zeros and ones to colorful graphical interfaces with buttons and web browsers. Binary is a number system that uses only zeros and ones and is the only system that computers understand. Yet somehow computers are able to turn this into a graphical user interface, or a GUI, and hide all the low-level details. You'll become a better programmer by understanding this process. The insights you'll gain will help you to write programs that naturally work with your computer. Computers have many components, and we're going to focus on just two of those, the memory and the microprocessor. We're also going to simplify things quite a bit. There's a lot to cover, so this topic will be split between two podcasts. This podcast will explain the memory. Let's start with the memory and give our computer 1,000 bytes of RAM and 1,000 bytes of ROM. I'm going to warn you that we'll need to cover just a little math here, but not too much. You need to understand the concept of a byte in order to understand the range of values that a byte can hold. I'll explain what a byte is in just a moment. The math is nothing complicated and is really just a different way of counting. RAM stands for random access memory, and that means that we can go directly to any specific byte in memory and either read its current value or write a new value. Each byte of memory will have a unique address, sort of like a house that has a mailing address that's different from the other houses. The only difference is that you never need to worry about a mail carrier mixing up the addresses. Each address is sequential, one right after the other, and the starting address is determined by how the computer is built. The memory will remember whatever value was last written to it until the computer loses power. But what if we haven't written anything to a particular address? In that case, it will contain a random value. ROM stands for read-only memory, and while we can also go directly to any specific address, just like RAM, and read its value, we cannot normally change the value in ROM. But ROM has one very important difference because it will remember its values even when there's no power. And I mean no power at all, not even a battery. It's possible to write values to ROM memory, but that's a special process and not something that our computer will be able to do. This means that the values in ROM will need to be written once when the computer is built and will not need to be changed after that. So we have 1,000 bytes of memory that we can read and write, and another 1,000 bytes that we can only read. But what's a byte? Here's where we get into the math. At the most fundamental level, computers only understand zeros and ones. A bit is a value that can be either 0 or 1. Because there are only two possible values, the computer number system is called binary. Think of a bit like a single digit in our normal number system. Because our number system has 10 possible values for each digit from 0 through 9, it's called decimal. How does binary compare with decimal? Both binary digits and decimal digits start at 0, and the only difference between them is that a binary digit has a maximum value of 1, while a decimal digit has a maximum value of 9. We can count higher than 9 in decimal by adding extra digits, and the same thing works in binary. Just add more bits. When you put 8 bits together, you get a byte. The decimal system doesn't have names for specific numbers of digits like binary. You know now that a single digit in binary is called a bit, and 8 digits is called a byte. By the way, byte is spelled B-Y-T-E, not B-I-T-E. Binary also has a name for 16 digits. That's a word. And for 32 digits. That's a double word. There's one more that I always found funny, but it's rarely used anymore, and that's for 4 digits. It's sort of a play on words. What's halfway between a bit and a byte? It's called a nibble. So back to decimal for a moment. It has a place value system where you have your ones, tens, hundreds, and so on. Have you ever wondered why the second place in decimal is the tens? Why not the twelves? That's because each place value is 10 times the previous value. It turns out that binary also has a place value system, only the places have different values. In binary, you have your 1s, 2s, 4s, 8s, and so on. Each of these place values is 2 times the previous value. Okay, that's fine, but why? Why do we multiply by 10 in decimal, and why do we multiply by 2 in binary? The reason we multiply by 10 in decimal is because 10 is the very next number after the first digit has reached its maximum value of 9. And the reason the third place is the hundreds is because 100 is the very next number after both the first and second places have reached their maximum values. In binary, the second place is the 2s because 2 is the very next number after the first bit reaches its maximum value of 1. And the third place is the 4s because 4 is the very next number after both the first and second bits have reached their maximum. We learned that the decimal number system in grade school, and we're just taught then to memorize that there were place values, but nothing really beyond that. At least that's how it was for me. There's a pattern here, though, that applies to any number system. And later you'll learn about another common system that uses 16 values for each digit. We actually start using the alphabet letters A through F because the number system runs out of values at 9. Okay, so let's get back to the reason for all this, and that is so you'll understand the range of values that can be stored in a byte. Given a fixed number of decimal digits, let's say 2, what's the highest number you can count? 99, because if we try to count higher, then we need another digit. Remember that adding one more would require the use of the next place value. So if you want to calculate the maximum amount you can count with a given number of digits, then look at the value of the next place and go backwards by subtracting 1. In this case, how high we can count with 2 digits? We start with the 1s and multiply by 10 for each place. That gives us 1 times 10 times 10, which is 100. Now you already know that from grade school, but now you know the pattern. Once you know that the third place is 100, subtract 1 to get 99, and that's how high you can count with 2 digits. The reason this is important is because computers run into this problem all the time. When we're counting, we can always add another digit, assuming our paper has room. Think of computers as having a small piece of paper that can only hold a small number of bits. A byte is defined as only consisting of 8 bits, and for our computer, that will be the most we can work with at any given time. With 8 bits, you can count in binary to a maximum number of 255. That would be all 8 ones. This is where knowing the pattern is important, and why I went through all that trouble explaining something that you are probably rolling your eyes or glazing over a bit. That's another pun, by the way. How did we get to a maximum value of 255 for 8 bits? Remember the pattern. Figure out what the value for what that ninth place would be, and subtract 1. Again, we always start with the 1s. So we have 1 times 2 times 2 times... It gets kind of tedious to count this all out like this, but there's effectively 1 times 8 2s. And if you work that out, that's 256. Subtracting 1 is how I calculated 255 for the maximum value of 8 bits. When you buy a modern computer and it says the microprocessor is 32 bits or 64 bits, you know what this means now. These processors are not limited to working with just 8 bits at a time. Part 2 of going from binary to GUIs will talk about the microprocessor and how it will interact with our memory. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the next episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a positive rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide 5-star ratings and reviews and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. Until next time, keep learning, but even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming, and you will learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.